Good morning, and welcome to the CyberSmart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Morning, friends. It is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. This is the CyberSmart Morning News Update. I am your host, retired FBI Supervisory Special Agent Darren Mott. I want to get right into the news today because I had to stop looking at my news sites because I hit six stories. This is one of the I don't want to say worst days, but this has been a bad day from a cybersecurity perspective I've seen in a long time. And so if I kept looking at more news sites, I would have found more bad things. So I think during the course of today, if you follow me on LinkedIn, I'll post more news that I come across. But these were six things I thought were important to hit on initially. If you find other news, feel free to send it my way. I do want to thank Karina Pantia for, she sent me a news article regarding, what is that regarding? It is regarding ransomware attacks may worsen as younger hackers in the U.S. start to work with Russians. I'm not going to cover that today. I might cover that on Friday. But that one, I'm not going to have time to get to that one because all these other things happened that I want to talk about. At least try to spend some time on six articles. I'll do my best to kind of compress them as best I can. There's not good news in really any of these. First one is from the Register.com, Connor Jones reporting. Change Healthcare's ransomware attack costs edge towards $1 billion so far. UnitedHealth, the parent company of ransomware besieged Change Healthcare, says the total cost of tending to the February cyber attack for the first quarter of 2024 currently stands at $872 million. That's on top of the amount in advance funding and interest-free loans UnitedHealthcare provided to support care providers reeling from the disruption, a sub said to be north of $6 billion. In its results for the quarter ending March 31st, which was filed on April 16th, UnitedHealthcare stated that the total impact on the company from the impact in quarter one was 74 cents a share. I mean, that's stock stuff, who cares? But it does say the remediation efforts spent on the attack are ongoing, so the total costs related to business disruption and repairs likely to exceed $1 billion over time, potentially including the reported $22 million payment made to Alf V. Black Cat affiliated crimes behind the attack. As always, this article is in the show notes. You can read more on it if you want. But it kind of goes to show the devastating attacks that poor cybersecurity hygiene can have. Now, one thing we don't know yet that I have seen anywhere, and if anyone has seen this, can let me know. It'd be great to know. How did they get in? How did this occur? Was it simply a spear phishing attack? Was it someone clicked a link? Who knows? I mean, I'd love to know. That's the only way we learn from any of this. All we know from this particular attack is it is costly to the company. It was costly to the clients or customers of Change Healthcare because for periods of time, they couldn't get their prescriptions, things like that. It had large debilitating impact from the company itself all the way down to the end user that they ultimately support. And if they're going to lose $1 billion on this, including the payment, they paid the ransom allegedly, and they're still costing $1 billion to fix this. Think about this from a small, medium-sized company standpoint. Not that it's going to cost you that much if you have this kind of attack, but it's going to be equally as devastating. Now, is Change Healthcare going to go out of business? I would not think so. Is their insurance going to cover it all? Hell no. There's no way they had $1 billion worth of insurance. So this is going to cost them money, which they will funnel through their premiums. So, you know, the cost is going to be sent down to the consumer. So it kind of shows the cascading impact that a cyber event can have on a company, its people it serves, and really everybody. So again, this should be a highlighted note that companies need to start at least assessing their cyber risk profile. Find help from someone who can do something to help you understand what your posture is. I mean, there's lots of ways. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. You're sick of me saying it. The several dozen of you listen to this podcast. You know, I've offered to talk to companies just to give them an hour free consulting to say, here's things you need to think about. Here's things you can do. No one takes me up on it. I don't know what to do. I'm going to be very active on LinkedIn on Wednesday simply because of this article, plus the other ones I'm about to talk about right now. And with that, Not that this is a big article, but I just had to point it out. Cyberscoop.com, Christian Vasquez. Congress rails about the United Healthcare Group after ransomware attack. House lawmakers argue that growing consolidation in the healthcare sector has created vulnerabilities to cyber attacks. If there's one group of people that should not be talking about cybersecurity right now, it's Congress people. They don't know shit, and they need to just kind of step back and let the people who know what they're doing figure out what's going on and develop methodologies to protect businesses everywhere. Now, the Health Department of Health and Human Services had announced an investigation into whether the payment processor and its parent company were in compliance with federal health data privacy. Well, that really helps if you're gonna fine them for not doing something they should have probably been doing, which we all understand is the case. How does this help? I'm going to link the article if you want to read about the idiots that run our country, but I saw that and I figured I'm already railing. I might as well continue to rail. All right. On another note, this is not good either. So we know, before I get there, we've mentioned the Avante vulnerability issues in the past. Recently, there was the Palo Alto, and there's a follow-up to the Palo Alto problem. This is from bleepingcomputer.com, Sergey Gatlin reporting. Exploit released for Palo Alto Pan OS bug used in attacks. Patch now is the headline. Exploit code is now available for a maximum severity and actively exploited vulnerability in Palo Alto Network's Pan OS firewall software. The security flaw is CVE-2024-3400 and can let unauthenticated threat actors execute arbitrary code as root via command injection in low complexity attacks on vulnerable Pan OS firewalls. Well, Palo Alto has started releasing hot fixes on Monday to secure unpatched firewalls exposed to attack. The vulnerability has been exploited. So now, this is not a surprise. We should have known this was coming. As soon as this vulnerability was found, bad guys were going to figure out ways to exploit it, and now they have. And so, as a result, one of the things that was found, it's in this report on Friday, threat researcher, and they say his name, found over 82,000 firewalls vulnerable to the exploit, and that those over 40% of which were in the United States. So you can now fix it, which is good, so you should, but the problem is going to be, how many companies have these firewalls, don't even know this attack occurred, aren't aware of the intelligence surrounding this, and are not taking means to patch their firewalls because they don't have the personnel, they don't have the resources, they don't have the intelligence. Now, I don't mean like smarts, I mean they don't know it occurred. This is the problem, right? How do we help? How do we use this information to get to the widest spread of people to help them protect themselves? Hopefully podcasts like this, they're bigger podcasts than mine. Obviously many of them, probably most of them are, all of them are, that can talk about this kind of stuff. So the more information we can get out there about these particular issues, the better. But there's still going to be a set of companies with these firewalls that do not update them because they're just not aware they need to and don't know how to do it. So look for more issues from this over the course of the next couple months as we dig into this. So we had the Palo Alto issue. We had the Avante issue. And along comes Cisco, who says to both of those companies, hey, hold my beer. Darkreading.com, Becky Bracken reporting. Cisco Duo's multi-factor authentication service breached. Fantastic. A third-party telephony service provider for Cisco Duo falls prey to social engineering, and the company advises customers vigilance against subsequent phishing attacks. A third-party provider that handles telephony for Cisco's Duo multi-factor authentication service has been compromised by a social engineering attack. Now, Cisco Duo customers have been warned to be on the alert for follow-on phishing schemes. Customers were sent a notice explaining that the company handling SMS and VoIP multi-factor authentication messaging traffic for Cisco Duo was breached on April 1st. The threat actors reportedly used compromised employee credentials. Once inside the service provider system, the unauthorized user downloaded SMS logs for specific users within a certain time frame, the company said. Now, I will say this. Cisco didn't get breached. It was a third-party provider, still a problem. Cisco did not identify the compromised telephony provider in its advisory. More specifically, the threat actor downloaded message logs for SMS messages that were sent to certain users under the Duo account between March 1st, 2024, March 31st. So the key here being, if you are a Duo user, you need to be very leery of getting unauthenticated Duo SMS messages with code in there because someone's trying to get around that. So in addition to the critical need for identity security providers to do more to secure their systems, That's something else. Sorry. It's important for companies to understand the reliance they have on third-party identity security companies, how an attack on those companies would impact them, so on. So what would be helpful here is if actually someone came out with, here's how the bad guys are going to do what they're doing with this, but we don't seem to have that yet. Perhaps it's coming. We can only cross our fingers. And in the more bad news arena, this is from scmagazine.com. Steve Zurier reporting, Omni Hotels confirms data compromise in apparent ransomware attack. Omni Hotels and Resorts on April 14th confirmed that a limited amount of data, limited, right now we're saying limited, was compromised on a March 29th Good Friday cyber attack on its systems. In a statement on its website, Omni said the impacted data may include customer names, email and mailing address, as well as select guest loyalty program information. Omni underscored, it's important to note that the impacted data does not include sensitive information such as personal payment details, financial information, or social security numbers. So they say now. Let's hope that stays the case. SC Media reported on April 5th that hospitality groups are popular targets for ransomware gangs because the disruption and revenue loss the attacks cause put significant pressure on the victims to pay the ransom. Omni did not specify the details of the cyber attack, which would be helpful. How about you do that? That'd be great. But Security Week reported that the Dykeson Team ransomware group recently added Omni to its leak site. The group claimed the theft of records pertain to Omni customers dating back to 2017. So here's the interesting thing that we will come to find. How much data was actually taken? What they're saying is limited. Will it actually be that when it's all said and done? One can hope if you're an Omni loyalty member or what have you, but again, a large company that should have had cybersecurity in place to protect their data, yet here we are. Now, do we know how they get in? We don't. Be good if we knew. It would be helpful to have a postmortem and say, hey, here's how this happened. I'm going to finish up today with this. This is more of a lighter note, but it's an interesting topic to discuss, at the least. Cybernews.com, Ernestus Napri is reporting, millions of student papers written with AI. No kidding. That's a big shocker. I know. The plagiarism and similarity detection service Turnitin says it has discovered several millions of student works that appear to have significant amount of large language model generated content. After checking over 200 million papers with its new AI writing detector, Turnitin has discovered over 22 million, or approximately 11% of the works, having at least 20% of the AI writing present. Over 6 million papers, which approximates about 3%, have at least 80% of LLM-generated content. Quote, we are in an important juncture in education where technologies are transforming learning and the need for academic integrity is more crucial than ever, says Annie Cecchitelli, Chief Product Officer of Turnitin. Everyone in education is looking for resources to enable them to perform at their best. The use of generative AI has grown over the past year. There's more to come. So we're going to see this. People are going to use these tools because they're helpful. I mean, I'm not going to say I have not used them because I have, but there's times to use them and times not to use them. Now, if you're a student and you're writing a report, an LLM can help you get outline an idea for a paper, outline specific topics, give you particular detail. But I mean, you still have to kind of personalize it into yourself and you need to back up your sources. My guess is that's what a lot of these students are not doing. I would certainly guarantee most of them are not doing the little things that they should do. Now, LLM makes it easier to do some of these things. There's good and bad to this, right? The good is the ease with which LLMs can generate content that is valuable for you to use. The bad is when you use it as your own information and try to present it as your own thoughts when indeed it is not. Now, there's ways, obviously, you can take those and transform them into your own thoughts and get and guarantee. I've already seen this now, right? There's a site, I don't know what its name, because I just caught it real quick on a social media platform, that you can take ChatGPT generated content, put it into this other tool, and it personalizes it. And it's designed to trick these kind of LLM detection systems. And this is going to be the cat and mouse game going forward, is this company can find LLM generated content. This site can modify your content to make it look less LLM, to make it more personable, all that kind of stuff. You're going to see this back and forth going on. There's no easy way around it. The key thing is, as a parent, teach your kids ethics. That's kind of the thing you got to do. This is really, at the end of the day, this comes down to parental involvement. If no parent is telling the kids this is the wrong thing to do, they're going to do it until it becomes a bad thing. So this will be an interesting topic to watch. It already is an interesting topic to watch as we go forward. But those are kind of my thoughts on it. Well, running out short of time, I'm going to let you go. I actually have to change a quick post on LinkedIn about the Cisco thing because I kind of misrepresented what was said there. But as you go through your day, know that knowledge is protection. If you understand the threats targeting you, you can assess your risk. Proceed wisely. Thanks for listening. We will talk again on Friday.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren at thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.